Morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me.
How exactly do we see earthquakes taking place in the middle of a tectonic plate? My understanding, total layman understanding, is they happen on the edges of these plates, not in the middles.
Well, that's true. Generally speaking, with plate tectonics, the action is on the edges of the plate. So you know, the seismicity rates, the number of earthquakes, are much higher near the edges of the plate. But that's because there are massive forces exerted, or at least there can be massive forces exerted at those edges. And those forces get transmitted thousands of kilometers through the plate interior and lead to the buildup of stress within the interior of the plate. And as that stress slowly builds up, it will eventually exceed the frictional strength of faults within the Earth's crust, even at the interior of the plate, and those will then rupture in an earthquake.
Now, I'm sure it would mean, these numbers would mean a little bit more to us if we were experiencing regular earthquakes, but 5.7, uncommonly large, this one was called. 6.5 is the largest one recorded in that area. How big are these on a general scale?
That depends very much on exactly what your question is. I mean, earthquakes globally can get, you know, bigger than magnitude 9. They can go, you know, so... Do you mean within Australia? Is that what you mean?
It's sort of within Australia, and certainly within these ones that occur just on the middle of the plate tectonics instead of on the edges themselves. But from a layman perspective, you know, just how big are we talking?
Well, that's a very good question. Something that's puzzled people for a long time. How big can earthquakes get in stable continental interiors like Australia? And actually, Australia has some of the best data on that because we've got a remarkably well-preserved record of ancient earthquakes going back tens and even hundreds of thousands of years. These have been studied by my colleague Dan Clark at Geoscience Australia. And from that data, he thinks that you can get up to magnitude 7.5, which is far larger than we've ever recorded in Australia.
And why does that section of WA, if we're talking in the middle of the tectonic plate in any case, why does that particular section get more earthquakes than other parts of Australia?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. The short answer is we don't know. It's happened. The crust there tends to be older, it's thicker, it's colder, faults might be stronger, so perhaps that's why. We do think that it's a very strong part of the plate, and so, you know, we've speculated that it could be that the very shallow part of it is quite brittle and weak and is rupturing in these relatively large earthquakes. But, you know, it's very difficult to answer that definitively. The interesting thing is, if you ask the question, where do the biggest earthquakes occur, you know, if you look at the catalog, you would generally say WA has the most larger earthquakes, say, above magnitude 5.5. If you plot those up, and I'm looking at a plot right now, most of them are in WA and with quite a few in central Australia as well, not as many in eastern Australia. But if you ask the question, where do the biggest earthquakes occur, you actually get a different answer, because that would involve looking at the geologic data, much as my colleague Dan Clark at Geoscience Australia has done. And he points out that in WA, you know, you get a lot of sort of randomly distributed faults, and you get reasonably large earthquakes that sort of pop off on these faults that are sort of distributed, they're sort of scattered all over the place. But in eastern Australia, the geologic evidence suggests that there are larger fault systems that have developed. For example, in the Flinders Ranges, some of these are 100 kilometers and more in length. And so there you could potentially get very large earthquakes, larger even than in WA. And we believe that we've had those. The geologic evidence suggests that those have ruptured in large earthquakes. They just haven't happened during the time that we've been recording earthquakes, or probably during the time of colonization, since colonization.
These things don't tend to sort of happen in just one-offs. Should the people in WA, should the residents of these kind of areas be concerned? Should they be bracing themselves for the next one?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer again. They can be one-off. You can get you sometimes get a foreshock or two leading to a main shock and then an aftershock sequence. And that can be just an isolated sequence and isn't associated with any other main shocks. And that's what we hope has happened recently in the recent Walpole earthquake. There haven't been any other larger earthquakes after that. But it is possible for one large earthquake to trigger another. That's happened in tectonically active environments. Some people speculate that the Meckering earthquake actually led to the Kudu earthquake, not, you know, a couple of years later. So it is possible. That's quite speculative, but, you know, it it is possible that one large earthquake can trigger another large earthquake nearby. We can never discount that possibility, but it's rare. I think it's fair to say that that's rare.
And considering we have seen, you know, a larger one in the past that did cause quite a bit of damage, left quite a few people homeless and the like back in 1968, how prepared are we in Australia for one of these natural disasters?
That's a good question, which we work on almost on a daily basis. The preparation for earthquakes really consists of building better buildings. And since the Newcastle earthquake in 1989, the Australian Building Code has taken into account, provision for earthquake loading. But the problem is that there are older buildings, particularly brick buildings that were built before 1989, that may not take into account the fact that we do expect earthquakes to occur. So there is a concern, especially in some of the urban areas like Sydney, that some of these older brick buildings might be susceptible to collapse if there's a large earthquake.
Well, Phil, I do appreciate your time. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.